invite you to open up your Bibles there as well. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40 is going to be the text of our lesson here this morning. As you're settling back in, finding that passage, let me take this opportunity at the beginning of my lesson to welcome all those who are out with us here today, member and visitor alike. We do have visitors among us here this morning. We want you to feel welcome. We want you to feel comfortable here at the Clarksville Church of Christ. Hope you'll come out and be with us again. We want you to understand that all we're interested in is what the Bible has to say. We believe that it is as it reports to be the words of God. Everything that we've said or done here so far and will continue to do, we can provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for why we did it. If you've got a question in regards to anything that we've done, we invite you to ask questions. We'll open up the Holy Writ together with you and study that together with you so that we both might have a better understanding. Maybe there's something that we don't do here today that maybe you thought we ought to do. Once again, we'll do the same thing. We'll open up the Bible, the Word of God, and read from it together to see whether it is what God would have us do. We are at the point of our worship where we're going to preach and teach the Word of God. Peter one time in 1 Peter 4, verse 11 said, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God. And then he closes that verse off by saying that God in all things may be glorified. So this morning, once again, I will provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, that God may be glorified, that you and I may be edified, and that we might be able to stand pleasing in the sight of God. I appreciate Alan reading so well the book of Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. We have there a very familiar passage to us. We're beginning to study it in our Bible class. Mark introduced that so well to us here today. And I want to talk to us about this conversion of this eunuch. This man here in Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40, was on his way back to Ethiopia from Jerusalem where he is worshiped. And there are a number of lessons that you and I can learn from the conversion of this eunuch here today. And we're going to spend the next 19 minutes or so talking about that. And then we'll close this lesson and it will be yours. The first thing that I want you to see here this morning and learn a lesson in regards to this is the urgency in personal evangelism. I want you to take a look at verse 30 of Acts chapter 8 where there it says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read from the prophet Isaiah and asked him, do you understand what you read? Why is it that Philip is running to this eunuch to preach to him the gospel? And the answer is because there was a man that needed the gospel. And I want you to appreciate that each one of us have been given our marching orders when it comes to preaching and teaching the Word of God, just like Philip had been. In verse 26, an angel appeared to him and told him, go and join yourself to this chariot. Philip ran. Why? Because of the urgency to get out and sow the seed. That is our theme for the year the elders have given us, sowing the seed. And we keep track back in the back, an encouragement board where we check when we invite folks to come and worship with us or study the Word of God. Why is that important? Because it is urgent that people hear the Word of God. Jesus said, go teach all nations, baptizing them. He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21 that God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save those who will believe it. God has chosen people to save people. God has chosen you and I to save our friends and our family and our neighbors. Why was it that Philip ran? Because it is an urgent situation. There was a man that was lost and he was in that chariot and he needed the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This man was lost, and that's an urgent matter. A lost soul. When are we ever going to feel that urgency? That if our friend, our family member, our co-worker were to die today, they would be lost without the gospel. I read that the church in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 is the pillar and the ground of the truth. We are the carriers of that precious seed of the kingdom that can save people. And I ask the question, what are we doing about it? I have buried loved ones that are now gone on to a land beyond. And I'm thankful that I was able to preach the gospel in their hearing. Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 26, I am free from the blood of all men. Folks don't always make the right decision when we sow the seed, but you've got to get around to seeing the urgency of sowing it. Philip ran. But also learn this. I learned what doesn't save an individual. This man was lost. He needed to be saved. And I want you to see what didn't save him. First of all, just his sexual morality. This man was a morally upright guy. This man was a eunuch. That was, he was castrated. He was emasculated. Man, Acts 8 and verse 27, therefore I know he was not a homosexual or adulterer or a fornicator or a child molester, and that's all good, and I encourage us to live that way. I've had folks say, well, you know, I'm not a fornicator, this, that, and the other, I'm morally pure, and that's great. This man wasn't doing any of those things, but he was still lost. How do you know that? Because the Spirit said, get up and join yourself to this chariot. He needs the gospel. You don't have to teach a saved man how to be saved. But also, I want you to see this. Being an honest man does not mean that you're saved. This man was the queen's treasurer. He took care of all of her financial affairs. Do you think the queen of Ethiopia would have a dishonest man in charge? And I want you to appreciate, and I do not want to minimize honesty. Paul said, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man and his deeds. Colossians 3 and verse 9. Again in Ephesians 4:28, let him that steal no more, but let him rather labor with his hands that he might have and be able to give those who would have need. I've had people tell me they know they're saved because they would take a fat tick off a coon hen's back, and I appreciate that. But what I want you to understand, this man still wasn't saved, even though he was a very trustworthy individual. And also, just because you read your Bible. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, this man was reading. Not only was this man reading, this man was reading out loud. How do I know he was reading out loud? Because in verse 30 it says, and Philip heard him read from the book of Isaiah. I got to tell you, so you go down the street today in Clarksville, and you hear somebody reading the Bible out loud, you would either think, one, they're crazy, or they're a preacher. Or both. This man was reading his Bible out loud. And I want you to appreciate, we must do that. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. And again, 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, till I come give attendance to reading. Isaiah 34, verse 16, find the book of the Lord and read it. But reading it alone and never get around to doing what it tells you to do will not help you. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? I want you to appreciate this man was reading his Bible, but yet he still was not saved. And being a religious individual, evidently, isn't something that would save you. Once again, this man was from Ethiopia. That is, he was from northern Africa. And he had ridden in a chariot all the way to Jerusalem to worship God. And now he's coming from Jerusalem, and he doesn't have enough religion that, believe it or not, this man, as he's leaving, is still reading his Bible. But yet, he was still lost. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he said, many will come to me on the day and say, Lord, have we not in thy name cast out devils? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus said, I will profess to them on that day, depart from me, I never knew thee, ye who work iniquity. This man still needed the Spirit of God to send Philip to teach him the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though he was a religious man. This man was morally upright. He was honest. He read his Bible. He was religious, but he was still lost. Maybe you're here this morning. You're all those who think you count yourself a Christian or saved because of one of these or all of these things. I want you to learn this from the conversion of this eunuch. This man was still lost. He needed to do something to get into a saved condition. There's something else I want you to learn from this man, and that is this. I want you to see the need for humility. In verse 30, when Philip ran to him and heard him reading out loud from the book of Isaiah, he asked him the question, do you understand what you're reading? And here's the eunuch's response. How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Can you imagine? Here is this fleeing evangelist, and he comes upon this big shot. This was a big shot. This man had the authority over the queen's treasure of Ethiopia. And here comes this man running from his very life in Acts chapter 8 earlier. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? You can imagine what the eunuch could have said. He said, don't you touch that. Don't you not see this royal seal on this chariot? Get back away from me. But he did not. He said, how can I unless some man guide me? This man was humble enough to say, hey, you know what? I don't know. Will you help me study the question? Micah said in Micah 6 and verse 8, and what does the Lord require thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. In Isaiah 66 and verse 2, for all those things have my hand made, and those things have been, says the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. This man was, as Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, clothed with humility, and because he was humble enough to say, I don't know that I know what this is talking about, let's study it further, he learned the truth. And I want you to appreciate, before you and I are going to get around to being saved, we're going to humble ourselves enough to listen to the Word of God. And I also learned the need to accept Scripture. Scripture is that which is written. In Acts 8 and verse 32 this time, it says, and the place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken up from the earth. And the eunuch answered and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. It took the Scripture to be able to show this man what it was he needed to do to be saved. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, I've done this in a figure that you might not think of man above that which is written. Far too many people want to turn to their preacher or their priest or their pastor or their cardinal or bishop or pope when salvation is found only in the Scripture. James said in James 1 and verse 21, receive the meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. One of the lessons I learned from this conversion of the eunuch is the need to accept the Scriptures, but also the need to accept Jesus' teachings. In Acts 8 and verse 35, and he says, and he began to the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus is the focus of our teaching. Jesus is the spokesman of God today. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, I read that God hath spoken, and he's spoken to us through his Son. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. In Matthew 7, verse 5, their Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Jesus Christ is the focus of all that we do here at the Clarksville Church of Christ, because it is he that God has chosen. It is he that God has sent. It is he that speaks from heaven today. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father but by me. Peter said in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there given any other name under heaven where a man must be saved. That is the name of Jesus Christ. I learned from this conversion of this eunuch the need to listen to Jesus. But I also see this. I see the need for faith. In Acts 8 and verse 37, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Some think that we don't teach faith. I mean, not so. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11 verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Jesus said in John 8, 24, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. But it's not faith only. Many a times I've talked to friends, family, co-workers, other folks who have talked to me about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they'll say things like, I believe that there's a God, or I believe in Jesus Christ, and feeling that is enough. James said in James 2 and verse 24, wherefore by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. But people still need to see the necessity of faith. And also I learned this, the necessity for a confession. In Acts 8 and verse 37, I read that the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How was he going to know if he believed with all his heart unless the eunuch said such. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Paul said in Romans 10 and verse 10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I've had folks ask me if that's a public confession. Is there any other kind? A confession with the mouth that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I learned this through this conversion, but I'll tell you something else I learned, and that is this, the need to be baptized. Philip was sent to this man to preach him the gospel by the angel of God himself. They began at the scripture. In verse 35, he preached Jesus to him. And when he says, and he saw that, he says, see here, this is eunuch speaking, see here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? When you preach Jesus Christ, you are going to preach the need for baptism. Philip didn't say, nah, we don't need some water. You do what you want, or you're okay, you're a good person. The eunuch saw through the teaching of the gospel the necessity to be baptized. Jesus said, go teach all nations, baptizing them. This man was from another nation. He was from Ethiopia. And he was being taught the word of God, and he was to be baptized at the command of Jesus. He that believes and is baptized, Jesus said, shall be saved. In Acts 2 and 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Saul was asked in Acts 22, 16, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. And Peter again, in 1 Peter 3, 21, said, in like figure, baptism does also now save us. How much plainer could God make it to you and I this morning that baptism is a necessity for your salvation than simply saying to you, wherefore baptism does also now save us? What I want you to learn here this morning from the conversion of the eunuch is the necessity of being baptized. And finally, I want you to see this, that baptism was a barrier. In verse 38 and 39, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were then come up out of the water, the scripture emphasizes on two occasions, they went down into the water. Why in the world would both men go down into the water? Because baptism is a burial. That's literally what the idea means. That's the word. It literally means to dip or to immerse. Someone says, well, he couldn't have been buried in water because the scripture there says they were in a desert. And everybody knows that there's no water in a desert. Well, how do you answer that? Well, by two ways. First of all, I know there was water there because the scripture says, see, here's water. So I know there was water there because the eunuch said, well, right over there's some water. So there was water. So the idea of the desert place is nothing like, you need always have a little scripture in your back pocket. In Matthew chapter 14, is verse 13, there I read that they sailed their ship into a desert. I want you to appreciate, you don't typically sail a ship in a desert. And literally all that means is it was a deserted place. And so they were just in a place toward Gaza that was a deserted place. There was plenty of water there. I know there was water there. There was enough water there for Philip and the eunuch to go both down into and for the eunuch to be immersed. Bible baptism is an immersion in water. In John 3 and verse 23, John the Baptist was baptized in Ainon near Shalem because there was much water. If water was just simply sprinkling or pouring a little water upon somebody, why was John the Baptist somewhere where there was a whole lot of water? Because Bible baptism is an immersion. In Colossians 2 and verse 12, I read, buried with him in baptism. I read in Colossians or Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4, don't you know that as many of us who have been baptized in death have been buried with him into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into his death, that like as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too should walk in newness of life. Barry, that was 19 minutes and 35 seconds. I was off just a little bit, but I want you to learn these lessons from the conversion of the eunuch here today, and that is this. The urgency and personal evangelism, Philip ran to teach this man the gospel. Tell me what doesn't save an individual. This man was an honest man. This man was a religious man. He was not sexual immorality. He had practiced sexual immorality, but this man was not saved. This man needed humility, and we see it. He accepted the scriptures, the need to accept Jesus' teaching, the need for faith, the need for confession, the need for the baptism, and the need to see that baptism is a burial. And if you and I have learned these lessons here this morning, then our time has been spent very profitably. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this morning to be like the eunuch and obey that gospel. If you've not done that, this is a wonderful opportunity. I'll take your confession here. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we'll both go down into the water behind this screen, and I'll baptize you for the remission of your sins, and you can be like the eunuch to leave this place, go on your way, rejoicing. We extend the Lord's invitation to you here today. We sing this song of encouragement, so it's up to me anyway.